India's slowing growth triggers an urgent call for action. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The International Monetary Fund warned high unemployment, weakening consumption, and regulatory uncertainty could continue to dent the expansion of one of the world's fastest growing economies. From the country's capital, New Delhi, the BBC's Aranande Mukherjee outlines some possible solutions.
One of them that they have focused on is to try and understand whether there would be more room to cut policy rates. The central bank in India has already cut policy rates 5 consecutive times, which is unprecedented. They're also looking at limited room for stimulus, but have stressed the need for medium-term fiscal consolidation, given the high level of debt that the government is facing. And also one of the important points that they've mentioned is to try and look at the commercial banks. More steps are required is what they say, to try and shift operations of public sector banks towards more commercially oriented decision making, along with measures to improve accountability and risk management.
Now, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been dealing with protests spreading across the country. Will the government then be able to heed the IMF's warning?
The finance minister of the country has made it very clear that this is not recession. Yes, this is a slowdown. So they have been fairly firm on that. The Prime Minister just a few days ago at a public conference still stressed on the fact that India was on track to become a $5 trillion economy by 2025. But yes, economic uncertainty that India is facing is only going to add to the public unrest that we're seeing here. There is a concern that if the protests continue in the scale in which they have, they could affect supply patterns, which could lead to prices rising. That hasn't happened yet. Businesses haven't been shut down for a considerable period of time because of protests, so that's not a concern yet. Economists and experts are keeping a close watch, because then this could further compound the economic problems that India is currently going through.
The BBC's Aranande Mukherjee in New Delhi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. It's a quiet Christmas Eve for financial markets. Japan's Nikkei ended flat while the Shanghai Composite gained 0.7%. Shares of BMW, meanwhile, are falling after the carmaker said the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is probing its sales reporting practices. Leaders from China, Japan, and South Korea have pledged to boost financial ties at a summit in the Chinese city of Chengdu. In the opening speech, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang called for a free trade zone and more regional cooperation.
Through this meeting, we will strengthen our political trust to maintain the security, stability of the region, to maintain the world peace, to respond to the pressure brought by the economic downturn, and to plan for a better future of the China-Japan-South Korea cooperation.
The leaders of Japan and South Korea, though, are at loggerheads on a range of issues. In addition to the joint meeting with China's premier, they're meeting for bilateral talks to resolve simmering trade tensions. From Seoul, the BBC's Laura Bicker reports.
There has been the smile, the handshake, the sitting across from the table where they've said the kind of things we expected them to hear, that they want to improve ties. But I would imagine within that 45-minute meeting, there'll have been some uncomfortable conversations, mostly from the Japan side, who will want guarantees that there'll be no more forcing Japanese firms to pay compensation. And from Seoul's side, they want the trade curbs lifted. But it is seen as at least a positive start that they are meeting face-to-face.
Laura Bicker reporting there. If you're braving last-minute shopping crowds today, you're in good company. The BBC's Coletta Smith met three friends in Manchester, hoping to hit the Christmas gift jackpot.
Scott Jeffries and his two mates, Nick Bowles and Dean Jeffrey, are out on their traditional Christmas present dash. But this year, the dads have come armed with lists.
I've got cheese board.
I've just got an umbrella. Socks.
An umbrella.
Two for one at Boots again.
These three modern-day wise men are in search of the perfect gifts, and they're not alone. More than one in ten of us still doing our shopping in December finish up the present buying in the final 48 hours.
So it's usually Christmas Eve. We go shopping every year in a panic situation.
Sue Dunn is a former director at House of Fraser and says things have changed.
I think that people now expect a discount throughout December, which is not particularly great news for retailers. This is our golden quarter. However, this year, there are some great things on offer at very reduced prices because many retailers, after Black Friday at the end of November, have maintained their reductions and gone on their winter sale, normally on Boxing Day, a bit earlier. So there are some great bargains to be had.
While their families are at home relaxing, our last-minute present hunt continues.
Well, I've just had a text off my mum there saying, they can't believe you lads have left your Christmas shopping so late. Ours is long done. Cheers. And they're drinking. Well, I've only bought two presents. Still got a lot to do. Where to now, then?
They might have more deals available, but for Scott, it's not worth the last-minute thrash.
Probably need to get a bit more prepared in future, because it's just madness coming out on Christmas Eve, you know, panic buying and getting stuff that you're not really sure whether people are going to like it or not. Trying to grab a bargain at the same time, but I'm going to end up spending more than I was intended to in the first place.
But Dean and Nick know that nothing much will change, and the three of them will be out seeking that star present this time next year. In Manchester, I'm the BBC's Coletta Smith for Marketplace.
Well, if you are doing any last-minute shopping, bonus points from us. If you sport an ugly Christmas sweater, producer Alicia Santarelli and I are proudly wearing ours. Pop over to Twitter to see them. I'm at Victoria Craig. And then share that holiday cheer by sharing a photo of your festive duds. Don't forget that hashtag BBC Marketplace. Then tune in tomorrow for a special edition of this show. We're talking about why every Christmas dinner this side of the pond features a divisive tiny green vegetable. That's all I'll say for now. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.